Good morning. So good to be with you, beloved. It was indeed a joy for us this morning as we gather around the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge that he is the worthy one. Worthy to be praised from the rising of the sun until the going down of the same. Worthy of homage and worthy of praise, worthy by all to be adored. What a sacrifice he offered for us, for you and for me, at Calvary, where he gave his life. You know, we have to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God, and I have, since I sat in my seat and listen to those gospel hymns and that challenge film, we have to change and we have to follow the leading of the Spirit of God. We have to, as it were, follow the man with the pitcher of water. Follow him. So we're going to read from the book of Exodus in chapter 4. And we want to stick to that theme that was struck in the gospel singing of the gospel hymns and the gospel challenge to go. In Exodus in chapter 4, it says, "And Moses answered and said, But behold, that they will not believe. They will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath appeared unto thee." Another excuse of Moses, chapter 4 and verse 10. "Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I prithee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." The Lord had appeared to Moses. He appeared to him at the burning bush. And the Lord had given him a mission. The Lord said, "I have seen the affliction of my people. I have heard their cries, and I know their sorrows. Come now, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh." Come now, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Moses began to make excuses. Like so many of us today, when we are challenged concerning taking the gospel to the lost, We come up with excuses. Why not see that brother over there? He can do it better than I can. Moses said, the people will not believe. They will not believe that you send me. I wonder if he was thinking back when he went on his own and he confronted that Egyptian. And the people challenged him when he tried to get between them and to separate them when they were attacking each other. And they said to him, who make thee a ruler and a judge over us? I wonder if he remembered 40 years past. So he's saying now, Lord, if I go, they will not believe. But you see, beloved, when the Lord calls us, when he commissions us, when he sends us, it's not up to us. Don't worry about the results in advance. Our responsibility is to go. Come now, and I will send you. We were singing, Send the Light, the Blessed Gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Excuse number two. You see, God had to show him that he can do anything. It's not up to you. It is not by might nor by power, the scripture says, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Now he is coming up with another excuse, another objection. He said, I can't speak. I remember a time when I came up with that, and it's probably still true, but it's not up to me. He said, I am slow of speech, he said. And the Lord had to remind him that he was the one who made man's mouth. He was the one who made the dumb, the one who made the seeing and all. It's God's in charge. Beloved, the responsibility of responding is up to you and to me and to say, here am I, Lord. Not, I can't do it, but here am I, Lord. Send me. There is a urgent call. And there is a great need in our world. Beloved, you and I have a responsibility of sending the light, of spreading the good news, of speaking forth the words of truth and soberness, taking the truth to the world. If you understand and you recognize the darkness that's in the world, there's so much darkness, not only in our land, but throughout the world. There's a darkness that can be felt. So why do we have to do this? We have to do it. We have to carry the gospel. We have to spread the good news. First of all, because the Lord says to do it. You need a better excuse than that. You need a better reason, rather, than that. The Lord Jesus, early in his ministry, he sent the disciples in chapter 3 of Mark's gospel. And this is what it says in chapter 3, verse 13. It says, and he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he appointed 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach. That's why you and I have to preach. They had to preach, and you and I have to preach. He sent them forth that they might preach. You remember in Acts of the Apostles, when Cornelius had this vision, he told him to send to Joppa. There's a man down there He's having some R&R, but it's time for him to take the gospel to the house of Cornelius. Send for Peter. He's going to explain things to you. He's going to tell you what you must do. You say, beloved, God has a servant, and Peter didn't have to go to a seminary or anything like that. Peter didn't have to go and learn from aged men who were saved a long time before him. He was God's messenger. And he got to the house of Cornelius, and Cornelius thanked him for coming. And Peter explained in Acts chapter 10 and verse 42, he says, he commanded us to preach. He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. Why do we have to go? Because he commanded us. He commanded us to go. You say, well, where do I go? Where do I go? Well, the short answer is you go anywhere. You go everywhere. The Lord Jesus, he told his disciples exactly that. Just before he departed to go back to glory, he told them in Acts chapter 1, and that's a very well-known verse. Verse 8, it says, You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem. That's the home base. That's where you begin, but you don't end there. And in all Judea, you're beginning to branch out. You're expanding in all Judea and in Samaria and onto the uttermost part of the earth. That's where you go. Appreciate that family that went over there to Africa. Throughout the ends of the earth, spreading the good news, the same message that we proclaim in Jerusalem, the same message that we proclaim in Judea and in Samaria. We proclaim the same message unto the ends of the earth. Witnesses. If you follow the Acts of the Apostles, you would find that the early church did it exactly that the way that Jesus told them. Oh, when you come to chapter 8, Philip is expanding. He's having good meetings. He's expanding. He's been to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. He's expanding now because he goes down to the desert and find a man who needed to hear. What are you reading? Do you understand it? The man said, how can I accept someone should teach me? You're looking for an opening, beloved. Be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God that sent him and told him to hurry, go down to the desert. You have to respond when the Spirit of God moves you. He was reading in Isaiah. When he was finished, he asked Philip, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? And Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, beloved, you don't have to preach the gospel from the New Testament. Some people think that. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's the only place you can preach the gospel. Not really. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. He is the theme of the Bible, and he can be found from Genesis to Revelation. The same scripture he preached unto him, Jesus. We know that that eunuch got saved and he went rejoicing on his way. He went back to his country. Speak of Jesus. In chapter 8 of Acts, speaking of where do we preach, beloved, it's clear that our mission field is everywhere. Acts in chapter 8, verse 4, it says, therefore, they were scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. You got it? That's your mission field. Everywhere preaching the word. It's not time for excuses. It's not time to worry about the results. It's not time to worry about your talents and your capabilities. When he sendeth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. The one who commissions us is the one who will be with us, who enables us to preach and teach his word. When the Lord Jesus was explaining the parable of the sower going out in the field in Matthew's gospel in chapter 13, he told his disciples, for they needed an explanation, he told them, the field is the world. That's where we go. The field is the world. You're not just restricted to your neighborhood. Your mission is the world. Another last request. The Lord Jesus, this time it's in the end of the book of Luke, speaking of where to preach this gospel. In verse 46 of 24 it says, he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached, to be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. I hope you have a good base right at home. Beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Moses, come, and I will send you into Egypt. I will send you to deliver my people. This is not time for excuses, beloved. The people are suffering. The Israelites were in bondage, they were suffering, and they were crying unto the Lord. Beloved, look out into the field, Jesus said, and see, it is ripe, it's ready for harvest. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Since we know why we ought to preach, because Jesus said to do it, send him forth, you shall be witnesses. Since we know where to preach, the world is our mission field. When we get there, when we get to the mission field, what do we preach? I hope we don't preach a lot of things that we hear from a lot of platforms these days. all the social stuff, nothing about Christ, nothing about redemption through his blood. All we are hearing about the events of the world, who is doing this and who is doing that, that won't work, beloved. We've been hearing that, and the church is taking it up. The church has abandoned the message that Jesus saves. We're adopting the message of the world, and it's not working. We need to respond to what Jesus said. So what do we tell them? Acts 8:5 says, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. What are you preaching? What comes out from this platform and from other platforms, beloved? What are we hearing? What are we preaching? You want to change the world? You want to change the world socially? You want to just put on a carnival and set up all kind of stuff and the people will come? I hear a lot of stuff that's being preached. It has nothing to do with the gospel of Christ. I hear messages for 10,000 people listening, and all they're hearing is about self-improvement and how you can be better. You just have to think positive. That won't cut it, beloved. It might make you feel good. You might enter that auditorium a sad sinner. You might leave a happy sinner, but you're a sinner just the same. You need Jesus Christ, for he is the answer. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What are we preaching? Philip preached in verse 5 of Acts 8. He preached Christ unto them. Now he's in a chariot with the eunuch, verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto them. Jesus. If you've got another message, if you've got another gospel, it won't work. It never worked, it won't work now. We need to preach redemption by blood. I know a whole lot of people stop talking about blood these days. I don't know why they're preaching. If you don't want to preach about the blood, it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth from all sin. Beloved, nothing else will do. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the message we must proclaim. That's what we preach. That's what Philip preached. That's what Peter preached. In Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, we go back there. That's what Peter preached. Peter said, in verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth again. That's the way to preach. That's the beginning. Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word. That's it. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You listen to some people who say they're Christians and all they're advocating is hate and murders. Oh, they all should be shot. They're all going to hell. Why are you wasting time with those people? Those people need Jesus Christ. That's why he commissioned us to teach all nations, to preach the gospel to every creature, none excepted. There are none that should be left out. That's what Philip preached, Acts 8. That's what Peter preached, Acts 10. That's what Paul and Barnabas preached after the Holy Spirit had separated them to the work of the Lord there in chapter 13 of Acts. What are we preaching? In chapter 13 of Acts, verse 36 says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell asleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. Be it known," here's the message, "be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." Which man? The man Christ Jesus. "And by him," the same man Christ Jesus, "by him all that believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." Justified. God saves us on the basis of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and he declares us righteous because Christ paid the debt, and he paid it in full. "And all who believe are justified from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses." What do we preach is the question. We have covered why, and we have covered where. It's important that we understand what the message is. Paul again, moving on his missionary journey. Now he's in Athens on Mars Hill, and he's got a difficult crowd to deal with. The Stoics and the Epicureans, these people spend all their time listening and hearing something new. All every day, they wanted something new. When Paul arrived and they heard him the first time, they saw him coming again, and they said, "I wonder what this babbler is going to say." You know why? They never heard this message before. They call him a babbler because he seems to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. That's the reason. What are we preaching? He preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. Let me just read part of it. Just part of it. 17 and 18 of Acts. "Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him and said, and some said, 'What will this babbler say?' Others, 'He seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection.'" And the apostle Paul, he really got into the message, and he warned them of because they were looking and talking about a God that they didn't know, to the unknown God, and he saw all the stuff that they were involved in. And he said, "At the times of this ignorance, God overlooked, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man, the man Christ Jesus, whom he hath ordained, concerning which he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead." That's the message we proclaim. Jesus and the resurrection. Be faithful, beloved. The results might vary, but that's not up to us. After Paul preached there on Mars, and it says some mocked him, and some procrastinated. They said, "We'll hear you some other time." But there's a third group. It says, some believed. Some believed. Don't worry about the results. Don't worry if you can speak or not. We have the message the Lord commands us to preach. You know, he went to a place called Corinth. That was no fair city. And Paul went to Corinth. This was one of the most wicked city you can find. And you don't want anybody insulting you and call you back in those days. If they call you a Corinthian, that was not a term of endearment. Let me put it that way. A Corinthian? But Paul went anyway because the Lord led him. He was responding and he recognized that the whole world needed to hear the gospel. And he didn't change the message either. He didn't say, I got to clean up this dirty city. He didn't say, some of you deserve to be in the gutter. And I don't want to waste my time with you. That's not what he preached. This is what he preached. He went to Corinth, and in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says, I, brethren, speaking out to the Corinthians, I, brethren, when I came to you, you know, when I first came to Corinth, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. In other words, he didn't talk down to the people. He was an educated man. He was a gifted orator. He was bright. He says, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. What did he preach? He says, for I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what he preached. Do you have a better message? Do you have a more effective message? Then Philip didn't know what he was talking about, and Peter didn't know what he was talking about, and Paul didn't know what he was talking about. If you have a more effective message, that's what they preached. How bad was Corinth? I said before that it was no fair city. I said it was, you didn't want to be called a Corinthian back then. Let's look at the character of the people. Chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians. Verse 9 says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Is he talking about an American city? Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Here it is. You know what kind of people who live there? And such were some of you. That's the kind of people that lived in Corinth. He says, and such were some of you. But you are washed. You are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Beloved, the gospel works. You don't have to curse the people in the gutter. You don't have to thumb your nose up at them. Such were some of you. But now he is speaking to people who used to be in the gutter. He says, you are sanctified. The Lord has delivered you. You are justified. The Lord has declared you from the gutter. He has declared you righteous. This message that we preach, beloved, is a powerful message. Someone has said, not only does he save to the uttermost, those who come to him, but he saved to the guttermost. You think they're too bad to hear? You think they're too far gone to hear? No, they're not too far gone. There's never a sinner so far from God, but Jesus, bring him home. Whether it's the lunatic of Gadara, or whether it's the pious, pompous Saul of Tarsus, the Lord can save to the uttermost all that come unto him. Such were some of you. In his writing to the Colossians, he says in verse 27 of chapter 1, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Jesus still saves, beloved. He still calls sinners to himself. You know, while he was here on this earth, the Pharisees, they didn't like him at all. They didn't like the way he was doing things. And if he claimed to be what he said he was, why is he mixing with these people? Where is he among them? And they charged him. They said on one occasion, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Yes. Did he not say, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance? They charged him. In the house of the Pharisee, the Pharisee said, if this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of a woman is touching him. Of course he knew. He knew she was a sinner. He knew she had committed a whole lot of sins. And so the Lord Jesus said, her sins, which are many, are forgiven because she loved much. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. Go tell the world. That's the message that we preach, beloved. That Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It's not enough to be a Christian and to come and sit and have fellowship with like-minded believers. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. But our Christianity doesn't end in the meeting hall. Our Christianity doesn't end, beloved, with our socials. I don't have enough time to get to my next point. I don't. But we're going to continue this because it's important not only to know why we preach and where we preach and what we preach. But we need to know what the message is and how to proclaim that message. We don't have to be eloquent like Moses thought he had to be eloquent. You don't have to be eloquent. You need to know the Savior. You need to know who the Lord Jesus is. You need to know who he is and to proclaim him. So we're going to talk about how to proclaim this message. And if you're waiting for an opportune time, We're going to look at when to proclaim this message. But that's all the time we have, and we're going to pick it up here this evening. Go tell the world that I'm a Christian. What the world needs is not more social programs. What the world needs is Jesus. For Jesus is still the answer. He has been and always will be. Again, let me close with this note. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. God bless his word, and hope to see you later while we continue this message. Father in heaven, we thank thee. We thank thee for the urgent call. We thank thee for people like Paul the apostle and his friends who responded to the Macedonian call, for they were persuaded that the Lord would have them preach the gospel in Europe. Oh, how we are thankful that they were sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and as a result, what a revival across that continent. Lord, we need to be sensitive to the leading of the Spirit in our time, and to cease with the excuses and to go forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Thank you for thy word. Thank you for those who have gone. Thank you for the challenge that we received today from that film. Continue to burden our hearts as we look to thee for help and blessing. We ask thee to guide us and part us with thy blessings resting upon us. We pray and give thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.